This is the day the federal government could resume deporting Iraqis to their former homeland, even as advocates warn that going back to Iraq could be a death sentence. Miriam Aukerman is with the Michigan ACLU. Miriam, why did the government get a legal green light to resume deporting people to Iraq?
Well, initially, this case started back in June of 2017 when the administration tried to suddenly deport hundreds of Iraqis who faced persecution, torture, or death in Iraq without giving them a chance to prove that their lives would be in danger if they were sent there. And we raced into court really literally to try to save their lives. And Judge Mark Goldsmith in the Federal District Court issued an order pausing those deportations basically to give people time to go to immigration court and show that they shouldn't be deported, because we don't deport people. We shouldn't deport people who are going to be persecuted, tortured, or killed. What has happened since then is that the government appealed that ruling, went to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, and in a 2-1 ruling back in December, the Court of Appeals basically said they didn't disagree that people who are deported to Iraq face persecution, torture, or death, but they said that the courts are powerless to stop it. That decision hasn't gone into effect yet, had not gone into effect because we sought review by the entire Court of Appeals. The entire Court of Appeals denied review, and so now that decision is going into effect. It's an appalling, appalling decision.
We're talking about, what, about 1,000 people who have final deportation orders who are most vulnerable?
There are about 1,000 people, yes, who are very vulnerable right now. During the course of the case, over 300 people have been arrested, have then filed motions to reopen their cases. And what we've seen in this case is that due process really matters. What Judge Goldsmith did was he gave people time to file their motions, and virtually all of them who have filed these motions have won, and that is because Iraq is a very, very dangerous place. But that process takes years. So many of these cases are still in process, and about 1,000 people have not yet even had the opportunity to do that. And so we're very concerned that people are going to be deported to a country where they could be persecuted, tortured, or killed without ever having a chance for an immigration court to hear those claims.
We reached out to ICE, to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and we got a statement from Rebecca Aducci, who's the field office director for their enforcement removal operations in Detroit. And I'll just read the statement and then get your reaction. Here's her statement. This decision is a decisive victory, further vindicating ICE's efforts to remove these aliens, many of whom have criminal convictions, to Iraq. The court's decision again affirms that each individual fully litigated their cases, receiving exhaustive due process. ICE is now reviewing this decision to determine its next steps. What about that claim that people received, in their words, exhaustive due process? Have they all had their day in court?
Absolutely not. Because if you got due process back in the 1980s and you ordered removed then, that was based on what Iraq was like in 1985 or 1990. That doesn't mean that given what has happened in Iraq since then, that you're not in danger now. What we know is that Iraq has changed a great deal, and that it is currently very dangerous. The question is not, was it dangerous to send you to Iraq in 1985 or 1990 when your case might have been litigated? But is it dangerous now? It doesn't matter what happened back then. What matters is, can we send people to a country where today they would be killed or persecuted or tortured? And that's the question that ICE doesn't want to answer. Because, in fact, when these Iraqis go to immigration court, they are winning their cases because it is so dangerous for them to be deported.
Are you aware of anyone having been picked up today, Miriam?
Not today.
Okay. What are the legal options for these people who have these final deportation orders but don't have an appeal lodged yet with an immigration judge?
Well, certainly we're advising all individuals who are at risk to immediately talk to an immigration attorney and to file the necessary papers with an immigration court to get that process started, because it is a very, very slow process, and that's why time is essential. I think the other thing that is really important here is that we're seeing bipartisan concern about this situation, because both Republican and Democratic lawmakers are calling on ICE not to deport Iraqis. They recognize that this goes against our fundamental core American commitment to due process. We don't take away people's life and liberty without due process. And so we're seeing, you know, we're seeing legislators calling on ICE to stop, and we're expecting to see some further legislative action. So what we're asking people to do, if you're an Iraqi at risk, you should talk to your immigration attorney. And if you're simply a person who believes that no one should be deported to face persecution, torture, or death without due process, you should call your member of Congress and demand a legislative solution here.
Miriam Ackerman, Michigan ACLU. Thank you, Miriam.
Thank you very much, Cindy.
Martin Manna is the president of the Chaldean Community Foundation. He's been in Washington today trying to meet with members of Congress and the administration to press the case. Martin, how have you fared in meetings? With whom were you able to meet?
Well, I had several meetings here in D.C. The last couple of days. I got to see members from both sides of the aisle. There's some discussion, bipartisan bill that they're considering introducing here soon that would request the administration grant deferred enforced departure for Iraqi nationals, which would mean that if there is such an action by the administration or even through Congress, that members that are at risk of deportation cannot be detained or deported for the time frame that's given. So we're just trying to buy some additional time for the great work being done by the ACLU so that people have their due process in courts and give them some additional time to hopefully get their cases reopened.
And it is worth noting that just late last month, President Trump actually did issue that deferred enforced departure order for some Liberians. So there has been a precedent for this.
Yes, that was extremely helpful. And I think when you meet with certain members like the minority leader McCarthy and many others, it was great that we could point that out, that there has been precedent set now by the administration. And we think the Iraqi nationals should qualify similar to what they've done for Liberia.
But in this just this past couple of days, we have seen a purge at the Department of Homeland Security, including Secretary Nielsen being forced out reportedly because she wasn't hardlining enough. How might that impact your cause?
Well, certainly it's a challenge. I think for the last couple of years, there's been so much turnover there. We've been trying to plead the case. But I think when you look at what's happened to the country of Iraq, specifically since 2003 with minorities like the Chaldeans that have gone from 1.5 million to fewer than 200,000, even our government, either Secretary Kelly and then affirmed again by Vice President Pence that a genocide was committed against Chaldeans, Christians, and other minorities like Yazidis. Colin Powell said that if you break it, you know, we must fix it. And certainly it's been U.S. policy that's led to the destruction of these ancient communities. So how on one hand can we talk about, you know, helping these communities and label them victims of genocide and on the other sending Christians back to that same country?
Have you heard whether anyone in the Chaldean community has been picked up by ICE today?
Not today. You know, I'm traveling, but there have been some pickups over the last couple of weeks. Some have been moved to Pennsylvania, which is typically a staging ground for the Iraqi embassy here in Washington to interview them, kind of the last step before they are then given travel documents and then deported by ICE.
What do you believe would lie ahead for these Americanized Christian Iraqis, these Chaldeans, if they're sent back to Iraq?
Well, most of them came here as children, some as infants. You know, they're culturally, linguistically illiterate when it comes to understanding that country. They don't have family there, as most of the minority communities have fled the country. So the question is, you know, what lies ahead for them? Typically, people who have a criminal background or may have a criminal background are also detained by the Iraqi government. So they may sit in jail. They may be released. Certainly, they would be targeted. I mean, one need just look at the U.S. State Department's statement on traveling to Iraq, especially if you're an American or viewed as an American. So they would have a tough time at it, certainly, and unfortunately they might be kidnapped or tortured, or there's certainly been a precedent for that as well.
Martin, there were a small handful of people from Michigan who were deported to Iraq in April 2017 and then again November 2018. Do you know how they're doing?
So many of them, I think, from my understanding, the ones that were sent back, you know, they fled the country again, and I don't know where they're at currently, but most have fled the country. There was also some reports that are unconfirmed that one of the members was kidnapped from our community, but it certainly is not somewhere that they want to be, nor would they be able to live comfortably.
Are you in touch with any of their relatives here? Are you getting any news from them, from family members?
Well, what we hear is those that have people that are detained or are concerned that they're going to be picked up, mostly families coming to see us that are the spouse and all their children are American-born citizens or are U.S. citizens, and just of utmost concern and worried about what the future will hold for their loved ones. And so, again, this whole process now is just trying to give them some additional time so that they can have due process in the courts. And hopefully, as probably the ACLU has told you, the majority of those that do get their day in court have been successful.
How do you respond to people who hear this story and say, hey, these people targeted for deportation broke the law, so they should go? What do you say to that?
Sure, I understand that. But a lot of them, they serve their time. So this is kind of like double jeopardy. So we should always follow the laws of this land. I couldn't agree with anybody more than that. But there's also this convention against torture that we cannot willingly send people to a place where they'll knowingly be put in harm's way, either persecuted because of their religion, political affiliation, or many other causes. So I'm all about the laws, but we have to follow all of them. And in this case, it's clear that those that are being sent back or will be sent back will be persecuted because of who they are and their allegiance here to the United States.
Martin Manna, president of the Chaldean Community Foundation. Martin, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.